Yeah, my name is Krishna Vadiparthi. I'm a faculty in the Department of Epidemiology from the College of Public Health and Health Professions and College of Medicine, University of Florida. The title of my talk is Association Between History of Childhood Sexual Abuse and Suicidal Ideation and Attempts Among Community Recruited Substance Using Women. Yes, I do not have anything to disclose, unfortunately. A quick and a brief introduction. So we know that early experience of physical and sexual abuse are documented risk factors for suicidal behavior in later life. Childhood trauma, especially childhood sexual trauma, is among one of the many etiological features, factors in the development of later suicidal behaviors. And there are several studies that have been conducted, and although studies have shown a relationship between childhood abuse in general and suicidal behavior, but what we found was childhood sexual abuse seems to be one of the strongest predictor of suicidal behavior. Substance use disorders are also a risk factor for suicide behavior, and we know that history of childhood abuse is associated with increased rates of substance use in adults, which again exacerbates the suicidal behavior among them. Similarly, psychiatric conditions, primarily depression, depressive disorders are major risk factors for suicide behavior. Childhood abuse has been found to be again associated with the onset of major depression, which contributes to suicidal behavior. Now, what we know is that most of the research examined these associations in treatment settings are populations that are very captive. Convenient samples college-going populations. And there are also some reports from the general populations, especially from the NESARC study and everything, which are big epidemiological studies. But to a large extent, a lot of the inferences that we made are from treatment or treatment-based populations or very captive populations. So there are a few studies that have been conducted among substance-using women in the community who are not in the treatment. The present study is an attempt to extend our knowledge about childhood sexual abuse history and predicting later suicide behavior predominantly among African-American current substance-using women in the community. And we hypothesize that the history of childhood sexual abuse will be associated with adult reports of suicide ideation and attempts independent of substance use behaviors and major depressive disorders. The data for this analysis comes from two NIH-funded R01 studies. One is called Sister to Sister, which is a NIH-AAA-funded study. Woman Teaching Women is what we call W2W, is an IDA-funded study. And both are HIV prevention studies for alcohol and drug-using women in the community. So for Sister to Sister, the women have to be urine negative for drugs and have to score 4+ on audit. And to be eligible for W2W, women have to test urine positive for cocaine, heroin, or amphetamine. And for both the studies, women have to be between ages 18 to 50 years and sexually active in the past 4 months and not currently in substance use treatment. Both STS and WDW, these studies were conducted in St. Louis, Missouri, the baseline data was for these studies was collected between 2000 and 2004. The women were recruited through community outreach by our community health workers, our trained community health workers who predominantly conducted outreach in places they can access women, primarily in places like grocery stores, gas stations, laundromats, bus stops, and various other places women usually congregate. And once the initial contact was made in the community, all the women were interviewed in the study office or the project office in privacy. So for both WDW and STS together, women contacted about 5,500 women, and of which 2,000 uh, 2,217 were eligible to be in the study, and several of them did not show up and we couldn't contact, but ultimately like we had 858 women who completed the baseline assessments. Coming to the assessments that that we used in the study, and especially the for the variables that I'm talking about, childhood abuse was assessed using the violence exposure questionnaire, which is based on the conflict tactics scale. So VEQ has been extensively field tested and was used in several studies in the U.S. Also, we have contextualized for various other settings, and you know, we've used it in Afghanistan, we have used it in India, and we found it to be very, a reliable instrument in terms of capturing issues related to childhood abuse and violence. So physical abuse, the question was, before age 15, did a parent or a legal guardian ever beat you so that you needed medical attention? And for sexual abuse, responding positively to one of the three questions, or are more than one of the three questions, constitutes them to be positive for sexual abuse. So before age 15, did anyone ever force you to kiss or touch them in a sexual way when you did not want to? Did anyone ever kiss or touch you in a sexual way when you didn't want them to? Or did anyone ever have sexual intercourse? This is the distribution. I mean, of course, I just said like, you know, 858 women we had, but I'm just talking about this 587. I'll just come to, you know, the reason why we had, you know, reduced the sample size here. So if you look at the 587 women who responded about their physical and sexual abuse, you see that 55% of them have reported no abuse, whereas 34% have reported sexual abuse. So the number of people who actually reported physical abuse and also like are very less. It's just 3%, and 47% of them had both physical and sexual abuse. So the numbers are, you know, I mean, relatively much smaller to make any logical comparison. So we actually limited our analysis only to women who reported sexual abuse and compared them with the group that has no abuse. Suicide behavior was assessed using the Diagnosing Interview Schedule, DIS. DIS is basically assess major depressive disorder based on DSM-4 criteria. So it also asks questions about suicide ideation and attempts. And so the following two questions have been used for this analysis. So has there ever been a period when you thought about committing suicide, which is indicates suicidal ideation? And the next question, did you ever try to end your own life, whether or not you thought about ahead of time? So depending on their response, we've categorized the women into three groups: women without any suicidal ideation or attempts, the women either they had a suicidal attempt or an ideation, and women who had both suicidal ideation attempt, or women with primarily like suicidal attempt with an ideation. Substance use was assessed using the substance use module, where you asked for binge drinking. I mean the variables that I assessed in this for this paper was binge drinking and cocaine dependence. So binge drinking, the question was, have you ever drunk as much as 20 drinks in one day? That would be about a fifth of liquor, or three bottles of wine, or as much as six packs of beer. And cocaine dependence, we've used endorsing three or more criteria. For DSM-4, cocaine dependence considers them to be dependent for cocaine, so that's what's been used. So in this analysis, we have considered only the lifetime cocaine users, that is women who have used cocaine five times or more in their lifetime. So that had actually brought down our sample from 858 to 587, and then we've also eliminated those women who reported physical abuse. So that's how we ended up with 523 samples. And the analysis was conducted using SAS 9.4, descriptive statistics, and multinomial logistic regression was used. So multinomial logistic regression examined the association between childhood sexual abuse, suicidal behavior categories, and adjusting for demographic and substance use variables. This is the distribution of suicide behavior among the 523 women we have. So 54% of them did not have any suicidal attempt or ideation, whereas 25% of them reported suicidal attempts with ideation, and 21% they either had suicidal ideation or attempt. And this is the comparison of the three groups based on certain demographic characteristics. Now, what you see is like they're fairly comparable, like there are no significant differences existed between the three groups of women on most of the demographic characters, except for, the box actually moved up. But what I'm trying to show is like, you know, women who had suicidal attempts with ideation were significantly more likely to have traded sex and engaged in binge drinking had a cocaine dependence diagnosis and also had a DSM-4 depression, major depression diagnosis compared to the women in the other two groups. This is regarding the sexual abuse. So again, as you see, the rate of sexual abuse, history of childhood sexual abuse is much higher, significantly higher among women who had suicidal attempts with ideation as compared to their counterparts. Now, the bivariate analysis shows that childhood sexual abuse significantly associated with increased risk for both categories of suicide behavior, that is, it's associated with both either suicidal ideation or attempt, or it's also associated with suicidal attempts with ideation. But however, you see that the odds ratios are much higher for the later group, that is, suicidal attempts with ideation. These are the adjusted predictors of suicidal ideation and attempt. Now, after adjusting for demographic characteristics and substance use and major depressive disorder, you still see that childhood sexual abuse seems to be, is certainly associated with increased risk for suicidal behavior. Of course, the risk, the association, the risk, the odds ratios have been attenuated after when you control them for various demographic and substance use and depression. But the thing, what is the most striking feature is here, it still has retained the childhood, the retained its association primarily. So we can still say that after controlling for all these variables, childhood sexual abuse is still a significant predictor. Binge drinking and cocaine dependence are primarily associated with increased risk for suicide attempt with ideation only. And major depressive disorder, as we expect, it's in the, the trend is in line with literature, what we see usually. It's one of the strong predictors. But in spite of having a major depressive disorder in the model, I think we still see that childhood sexual abuse seems to be the strongest predictor. So in conclusion, after adjusting for demographic substance use variables and major depressive disorder, childhood sexual abuse was significantly associated with increased risk for each of the suicide behavior as compared with no suicide behavior category. Binge drinking and cocaine dependence were associated with increased risk for suicide ideation and attempt, whereas the major depressive disorder was significantly associated with increased risk for suicide behavior in both categories. There are certain limitations. One is the primary is that the study, the data was collected, the sexual behavior childhood sexual abuse was retrospective, so there's always a potential threat for recall bias. However, we assumed that women wouldn't have differentially responded to these questions, primarily because the questions about childhood sexual abuse were asked as a part of an HIV prevention study, but basically these are not it's not a study of childhood sexual abuse or suicidal behavior, so we don't assume that they would have differentially responded to them. Of course, it's not a causal model, so a model that does not explain any causality. There are definitely certain strengths in spite of certain the limitations that I talked. It's targeted a very high risk sample, and it's not a convenient sample, as I mentioned in the beginning. And it's one of the first studies that made an attempt to study this phenomenon in the most vulnerable and hard to reach women in the community. And the findings of this study demonstrate that childhood sexual abuse is a risk factor for adult suicidal behavior independent of substance use and major depressive disorder. With regard to implication, the study recognizes that substance-using women with histories of childhood sexual abuse is a very distinct or unique population that require increased, are at an increased risk for suicide, and they require specialized attention. So screening for histories of childhood sexual abuse and suicidal ideation and attempts is recommended while working with women using substances. And in addition to treatment for substance use, this knowledge may help to expand services to include counseling and referral for populations dealing with childhood trauma. So these are our acknowledgments. We thank our community health workers and the study participants, who volunteered to be with us. And thank you very much. Any questions?
Causality, whether you ever, if you look at a model of development in which a woman who's been abused as a child has an inability to bond with trusted figures. Trusted figures. And will have a sense of being a bad me for an awful long time, and one of the goals of therapy is to try to reparent that child. But to think that they repeat these destructive relationships and behaviors because, in a sense, that's what they know. And I think, I was thinking about your comment. What would, Durkheim say if we think about? Durkheim was about the role of connections.
Right.
And all of your papers really talk about, you could have negative connections where in some sense you need a group leader. You have a group of people who are connected by their, you could say, despair, but people who are searching for identification and to... The whole notion of reaching out and identifying populations that are both on the fringe, but to really look for leaders in a community to encourage connection, because absent connection,
exactly,
you can get increased suicide. Now, of course, there can be what we call the I'm blocking on the first. A category of suicide that not the egoistic
altruistic
the altruistic suicide, which of course leads to the, the awful suicide bombing, but I think all of you really focus on the role of connections, and I think that that's great.
Thank you so much. Yes.
I was curious about your methodology for selecting who counts as a drinker and who counts as a cocaine user. Because the cocaine, you chose lifetime users, as opposed to one-time users, right?
Well, lifetime users only for this analysis, but to be in the study, they need to be urine positive.
Okay.
For cocaine, amphetamines, or, any opioids.
All right.
So they're current users. They're not like...
Okay. But with regards to the binge drinking, the assessment was yes or no, did you drink 20 drinks in one
right.
day? All right. So it seems to me like there are sort of different philosophies going on there.
Well, binge drinking, Yeah, please complete your question.
Well, I was just saying, it seems to me that one of those is asking about a person's lifetime, and the other one is asking about one day in a person's lifetime. So it seemed to me like there were two different philosophies, and I wasn't sure what the reasoning was, or if it was just that that's kind of a standard procedure.
I mean, it's not the standard procedure or anything. I mean, see, for instance, how we arrived at binge drinking, yes, like, I mean, it's just one of the questions that we had, but before we arrived at the binge drinking question, there were a series of questions. We usually ask women, like, how many drinks did you have, you know, last week, for instance, Sunday, how many did you have on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? So we also have a count, you know, how many they had in the past 1 week, okay, and then we ask them questions about binge drinking. But yes, so I didn't like put in all the, you know, questions, so I have only taken the last one that we've, but basically before we arrive at the binge drinking question, we ask them you know, about their drinks.
That amount of depth to it makes much more sense.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.